Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bishcakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome.
Let me just say, in my fervor to defend Ovi, I did forget that the Stanley Cup, the Caps had gone to the Stanley Cup before Ovi in the late 90s.
Yes.
And they got swept out by the Red Wings.
I remember that. Yeah. We were doing appearances.
We did make another Stanley Cup appearance outside of the one in 2018 that the Caps won.
We were at that bar in D.C. I can't remember which one it was.
Was it John Paul's or Jay Paul's or something?
Maybe it was Jay Paul's. And we were the only ones there.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Literally, the Caps were in the finals.
They were in the Stanley Cup finals, and there was no one there to watch.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
We ordered pizza.
Eastern Conference finals when they clinched against Buffalo.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just prior to going to the Stanley Cup.
But can you imagine if that was the case now? That place would be jammed.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, we were doing late appearances, but I believe the game was still going on. Who did they play?
Buffalo.
They played Buffalo.
And why was it still going on? Because we were doing appearances like from 10 to noon.
Let me guess. Probably a Caps overtime appearance. Yeah. Even back in the late 90s, I would guess.
Yeah.
I actually drove to Piney Orchard with a DAT recorder and interviewed some people.
That is old school. Putting in the work.
All right, we've got Tariq El-Bashir on with us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Tariq, of course, covers the Caps for The Athletic. Hey, Tariq.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
So tell us why this year is different than the previous 3 years. It's first round exit once again. What should we take away from this season versus the seasons prior?
Well, I mean, I know all the Caps fans and the players and everyone with the organization are incredibly disappointed. And, you know, I understand that disappointment this year. You know, I mean, they were right in this thing. They had several opportunities to upset the number one regular season team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where that disappointment stems from. I mean, you go back to game four, you know, a couple of mistakes and it's a loss. You know, you go to game five, a 3-0 lead. You just don't see 3-0 leads coughed up in the postseason. I mean, when games get more tight checking and guys are more dialed in and more focused and there's fewer mistakes and there's less space out there and they cough that up. And then, you know, game six, again, they had an opportunity to get back in it and to, you know, force a game seven and put all the pressure back on the less experienced Panthers, and they weren't able to do it. So, you know, I would say if you're a Caps fan, you should be heartened by the fact that you have a team that even averaging almost 31 years old, you know, and has a lot of aging veterans, was still able to push a younger, faster Panthers team to the brink, or, you know, too close to the brink.
Right.
But on the flip side, you look at the missed opportunities and you also look at the age and you're like, these guys aren't getting any younger and they missed what I thought was their best opportunity to make a run. I mean, when they were up 2-1, guys, I was like, this might be, I could start seeing that pathway opening up a little bit. And then, you know, disappointment, devastation, whatever you want to call it.
Tariq, you mentioned the aging vets. One of those guys is Nicklas Backstrom. I was concerned by some of his quotes when he said the hip is not going to be 100%. That sounds like in perpetuity going forward. That's just something that he's going to have to deal with, you know, on a year by year basis.
Yeah, I think listening to what Backstrom said and listening to GM Brian McClellan and even Coach Peter Laviolette yesterday didn't give you the warm and fuzzies about the direction, you know, for Nicklas Backstrom. And it's really a shame because, you know, I mean, obviously he's been so much to this franchise. It still means so much to this franchise. But, you know, if you watched him in those last, you know, 40 games of the regular season, I mean, you could clearly see he was laboring to get around the rink. You know, as a reporter, you're down on ice level, you know, leaving the rink around the same time as the players. And, you know, after a 3-hour grueling game, I mean, you know, he was dragging his leg around a little bit. You know, it was hard for him. So, you know, you listen to his teammates and his coaches, and they all praised him and showed their appreciation yesterday for what he had to go through just to be able to get out there. And when he was out there, you could still see that elite vision. You could still see those great hands. He still set up TJ Oshie for some important goals. But, you know, the key point to me yesterday, for me yesterday, was when Brian McClellan was asked if going through another year like this year was sustainable for the team and for Backstrom. He said, no, it's not. Hmm. So
what does that mean?
I don't know what I don't know what direction this is going to go just yet, guys, but it does sound to me like they're going to, you know, have specialists look at the left hip again and maybe talk about surgery. And it's going to be really important over these next 3-4 months that Nicklas is able to start feeling better and start feeling like he's going to be able to be more, going to be able to skate and get around the rink better next year. Or, you know, no one wants to talk about this. I mean, he's not going to retire and walk away from that money, but we've seen over the course of, you know, the last several years when an older player has an injury that just doesn't allow him to perform at an NHL level. And I'm not saying it's quite at that point yet, but if it gets to that point, they just put him on LTIR for in perpetuity, and that contract goes away, and that player, you know, kind of is just there, not playing. I don't know if it's going to reach that point, but my antenna certainly went up yesterday, and you just feel bad for everyone involved because Nick's a great guy and obviously a huge figure in this franchise's history, and you just never want to see a player who had that kind of ability, that kind of skill, that kind of impact on a team, on a city, you know, in this position, because I don't know. I mean, it's definitely touch and go right now.
We went through all the big numbers and the big names. You know, if you look at what's owed to these guys, obviously Ovi's not going anywhere, but he's got $40 million coming to him. Backe, you just talked about it, he's got $30 million. Kuzi's got $24 million. Carlson's got $32 million coming to him. Oshie, $18 million. And that's not even including, you know, guys like Mantha and Willie. So, I mean, the core of this team, the top seven guys, are making a ton of money the next few years. Do you envision any big moves at all?
You know, I did. I felt like going into yesterday's news conference with Brian McClellan, we were going to hear, well, you know, we've got our core is our core. We knew we were going to get to this point. We're going to keep augmenting that core and adding pieces to support them and try to win. And he didn't really give that vibe. He said, it's been 4 straight first round exits. We're going to make changes. So if I'm a player in that room and I make a lot of money and I'm on a long-term contract, I just went, oop, you know, I definitely heard that loud and clear. I don't think they're going to trade a core player. I mean, obviously, you know, an Ovechkin, a Backstrom, a Carlson, Kuznetsov, Wilson, I don't see those guys going anywhere, but Brian McClellan did not sound like a general manager that was going to tinker around the edges this summer. Uh-huh. You know, I've talked to people around the league, and I think a lot of people are girding for and expecting a lot of trade movement around the draft. You know, teams that are you know, projected to be over the cap, some teams that have some space and are looking to add. I think there's going to be some movement. I do feel like, guys, there is a possibility of a shocker, of a what? They traded who for what? I think there could be one of those moments this summer. And if you were going to ask me where, I don't know what player would be going out, but I think it's going to be a goaltender coming in. And there are some guys who, you know, if you look at the cap situation of some of these teams, there are some teams that have guys, two goaltenders that are making $5 or $6 million, and that's not sustainable. That's not something you can do in this league and have $12 million tied up in a goaltender or in two goaltenders. You know, I'm talking about Jonathan Quick and, you know, in Los Angeles and Cal Peterson. You know, I'm talking about Billy Huso and Jordan Binnington in St. Louis. You look at the Islander situation with Semyon Varlamov, who we all know from his time in D.C., and Ilya Sorokin. I mean, there are some situations where I think the Capitals are going to be able to, you know, use their leverage and maybe pry away a very good goaltender. But they're going to have to give up something to get something.
And Tarik, in that same vein, what do you see happening as far as backup going? Would they keep Ilya and or Vitek as the backup if they make that big free agency splash? Is there, you know, a guy like EB Love, Zach Fucali from Hershey? Huh. Is that a guy that would get elevated to be the backup if they spend big money or swing a deal for a
goalie? I feel
like
they need a proven guy.
Yeah, I would feel like if they went out and got a big name goaltender, let's say in a trade, I would say either Vanacek or Samsonov would be retained as the backup. You know, in today's game, you know, all the advanced analytics point to the fact you can't play your number one, especially if he's in his 30s. You can't play those guys 65 games anymore, 60 games. You know, you need someone who's gonna get out. You know, you need a backup who is capable of starting, you know, 28, 30 games. So you still want a capable player in that backup role. Vanacek was the more consistent of the two. Samsonov is the more talented of the two. To me, it just feels like Zach Kutali is the number three and is going to be the number three going forward. Like, he's just the guy you can call up for a few games when there's injuries or other situations going on. I don't know that he's viewed as a guy who's ready right now or you know, will be in the near future as, you know, being a full-time NHL player. I could be wrong, but that's not the vibe that I get. So if you had to ask me right now, what's this goaltending situation going to look like? I would say proven veteran number one who's not currently in the organization, Vitek Vanacek as the backup, and Fucali still, you know, the number one in Hershey.
Talking to Tarik El-Bashir, covers the Capitals for The Athletic. You mentioned decision-making and Brian McClellan. Is he 100% safe?
Winning a cup buys you a lot of time. And if you look at Ted Leonsis's, you know, history with managers, you know, I'm thinking about Ernie Grunfeld and just other key high name, you know, big name important people in within monumental sports. Ted doesn't move on quickly. You know, he's pretty loyal and likes continuity. So that's a long-winded way of saying it doesn't feel that way to me. It does not feel that way to me at all. I think the pressure will start to rise, but also, you know, you talk to people behind the scenes and, you know, this aging core that, you know, you look at the Penguins as well, sorry to jump around here, but the Penguins also haven't advanced past the first round since 2018. You know, that's another star-laden team driven by 30-somethings. But you look at the way this team is constructed, you know, the ownership told Mac Brian McClellan how to do this, I mean, or what they wanted. And they wanted to keep Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom, and they wanted to keep this aging core that delivered the championship in 2018. So, you know, if you're ownership and you told your manager how you wanted things done, and then he did the things you wanted him to do, and then it hasn't worked out, I don't know, it's pretty tough to fire that guy, right? I mean, he's just executing the plan that you laid out. So I don't think so. I think management coaching, I think it comes back intact next year. I think the biggest wow moments this summer are going to be on the player roster.
When you look at the way that the Caps lost games, especially games 4 and 5, okay, game 6,
yeah,
you know, they, you know, there were still, I don't know, 12 minutes, 10 minutes left in the third when they tied that, but whatever. When you look at the way they lost games 4 and 5, what do you chalk that up to? Is it just mistakes? Is it age? Is it conditioning? Is it, you know, lack of speed? Was it goaltending? I mean, I guess it was a combination of all of those, but you can't lose 3 consecutive games that way without there being a main cause, right?
Yeah, you can't. And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, collective mental fortitude or focus. I thought about this. I've been asked about this. You know, there is a common thread, and it's key mistakes at the wrong moment. I don't know I don't know how you fix that or correct that. It wasn't systems. I thought Coach Laviolette's, you know, plan to kind of trap it up in the postseason, it was the right plan. I do feel like the goaltenders have a little bit of culpability. They didn't lose the series for the Capitals, but there still were some leaky goals that hurt at the wrong moments. But, you know, specifically to game four and games five, it was mistakes by people who shouldn't be making those mistakes. I mean, yeah, the overtime loser in game four was Connor McMichael losing a handle at center ice, but there were other things that happened on that play. Mm-hmm. You know, in the moments leading up to that overtime losing goal, you know, you had opportunities to finish. You know, there was an empty netter that got missed. There was Marcus Johansson that missed a breakaway. You know, that's just clutch. Those, you know, maybe this team is collectively missing a clutch gene. Maybe need some other, you know, another player or two who has proven that they can do it under the, you know, harshest and you know, highest pressure situations and moments. And then you go to game five, and it's guys you're not expecting to you know, spit the bit, you know, at the wrong moment. I mean, it was TJ Oshie, who had a great postseason. You know, he's still kind of banged up, and he tried to toe drag and be a fancy Dan in center ice, and they got picked, and now it's 3-1. Uh-oh. You know, and then, you know, there's, you know, John Carlson pinched down the wall in a situation where he shouldn't be pinching down the wall with a bouncing puck, and it goes over a stick, and uh-oh, now it's 3-2.
Right.
Then you look at the game-tying goal, and there's five dudes standing around watching Sam Reinhart find the puck. You know, like, there were all sorts of things, and I do feel like – I don't feel like speed was an overwhelming problem for the Capitals, but I do feel like youthful energy and exuberance, guys who are 25 bounce back faster between playoff games, they miss less time in the regular season – you know, they're almost an average of 31 years old. They've got to bring that number down to 27 or 28. It's going to be hard. I don't know how you do it, but they're going to have to ship out some of these older guys and bring in some younger guys. And, you know, and one quick note of, you know, one thing that really raised my antenna yesterday in the news conferences was, you know, both McClellan and Laviolette said, yeah, we got to find a spot for Connor McMichael, and we'd like him at center. Well, if your centers are Evgeny Kuznetsov, Nicholas Backstrom, Lars Eller, and Nick Dowd, and Connor McMichael is a third line center, what does that mean for Lars Eller?
Right.
You know, I mean, they were kind of dropping hints all along, right?
Yeah.
What do they have any besides McMichael? Who's their next best prospect? Who's, you know, 20 years old? Who they might be able to bring up next year?
You know, I think Alexei Protas is. You know, he's a big center who can also play wing. They also like him at center. I don't know if he's a full-time player next year, but, you know, he's a guy who I think they think very highly of. He's not exactly fast, but he's young. You know, he's 21 years old. Hendrix Lapierre, remember, he started the season with the Capitals. Another center who can, you know, be put on the wing if necessary. 20 years old. And, you know, those are young legs there. You know, Brett Leeson, we saw a lot of him. You know, he's more of like a grinder type. I don't know where he fits in, but they played him 30-some-odd games this year. You know, on the back end, you got Alex Alexiev, you know, first-round pick from a few years ago. At some point, you got to make room for that guy. I mean, he's shown he's done. He's gone down to Hershey. He's done everything that you told him to do. You know, he's ready for an opportunity. I think he makes the team. And another player that kind of got buried was a first-round draft pick, Lucas Johansson. He got buried by injuries. You know, he was drafted back in 2016. He had a really good year this year now that he's finally healthy. I could see him make a push for the team. So they've got some young blood. They've got some guys down in Hershey. And, you know, one cool thing about this season, you know, taking away the collapse at the end, was early on, because of all the injuries and the COVID situations, they actually had a chance cap-wise and roster-wise to bring up these guys. So as they start looking at free agency and what to do here, it's not like they're going, well, how does this guy who played exclusively in Hershey the last 2 years, how does he fit into our – they saw these guys. They saw them in Washington. So they have a feel for how Axel Johnson-Fialbi, another player I left out of there, how he looks in a Capitals uniform and how he plays at this speed and at this level. So I think that's going to help them as they make these decisions, but they've got to bring in 3-4 guys who are, you know, in their young 20s next year and kind of mix them with this veteran group.
Tark, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Yep. Tarkell Bashir covers the Capitals for The Athletic. A little bit later in the show, we'll get into the NBA playoffs with Tim Bontemps from ESPN right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.